Good morning, everyone. Anyone glad to be here worshiping? Okay. Good, because I am too. Aren't you thankful for the freedom to come and worship together as the church? I'm super thankful. I'm sure this week has reminded some of us how blessed we are to be able to worship freely without fear. There are millions of Christians in this world that would love to have the freedom to come worship together with the church family. And I pray that we would not take that for granted. And I pray that we would pray for them. And what's interesting is in those places in the world that we're hearing about, that's like the fastest growing places for Christianity on the planet right now, which that just tells you something. People are looking for hope, they're longing for hope, they're wanting the answer to hope. And here we are in America, we have the freedom to tell them without any fear. We have the freedom to come here and worship. So let's take advantage of that. Let's tell our friends about Jesus. Let's tell our neighbors and invite them to church. Let's feel the urgency of that. But I am thankful to be here as we get to open God's Word, as we get to worship through music, through song. And I just continue to pray that we are going to be, that God's going to speak to us through His Word this morning. But before we start, I want everyone to take a big, deep breath, okay? Everybody breathe in, go. Now let it out. All right, let's do that again. Take a deep breath. Let it out. Okay. Now here's the thing. Most of you were fine with the first one. Okay? You're like, all right, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what the pastor's doing. We just took a deep breath. Okay, I can play along. The second one is where some of you in your minds began to think, okay, what's going on here? Let's get this show on the road. You're kind of wasting my time with this breathing stuff And that's that. In that second time through, you kind of began to think about the list of things that you had to do today, and you're like, "Why? One was enough, but twice? That's going a little too far. You just wasted another 30 seconds of my life." And maybe that's a little extreme for some of us. But here's what we do know about our culture. Our culture is extremely busy. Can we just agree with that? All right. This culture is extremely busy. Not just a little busy, but we are extremely busy. We have crazy schedules. We run our kids around to all their activities. Our work life is crazy. We long to get home, and sometimes we can't because it's just we have so much to do. With our family, our Sunday night devotion, part of that time together is really just to kind of have a family staff meeting where we look at the week and we look at our schedules and we say, where is everybody going to be on this day? And we walk through the entire week so that we know what is coming up. I believe our culture and the normality of our hectic lives affect our prayer life. Does anyone agree with that? Not just our prayer life, but our devotion time, our time with the Lord. I think we set aside, those of us in here this morning, at least, we have set aside this hour. Some of us got up a little early, came to Bible study, so we set aside this couple of hours on a Sunday morning. But I believe, without a doubt, because of my own life, I believe that our schedules, the craziness of our schedules affect our time with the Lord during the week, and it affects our time in prayer. For one, we just don't spend much time in prayer. We just don't. And when we do pray, we often approach God as kind of like a spiritual vending machine, don't we? It's just kind of like second thoughts, like, oh, goodness, Lord, I really need this. I believe in you, and I know that I can approach you and I can spend time with you, but we kind of come to him in the hectic, the busyness of our schedule, and we just like, okay, Lord, I need this, this, and this, and this. Can we get this done? Can we get this taken care of real quick? And we just have enough time in our prayer lives to get out our list of items that we need from him before we're off to the next thing. Now again, Maybe that's a little harsh, but when you think about it, I don't know that it is. I mean, we don't want to think of ourselves that way, right? We want to think of ourselves a little bit more mature in our faith, but when we really think about our lives and we think about our weeks, isn't this kind of the truth? We dash into our prayer times. Maybe we utter a few phrases that we've kind of had memorized through the years as a Christian, and we kind of walk through those things really quickly, and then we offer up a few requests, and then we jolt and we dash back into the hectic schedules that we have. As we look at the Sermon on the Mount, and as we walk into this section, this passage on the Lord's Prayer, thankfully, we can look to Scripture. We get to look to Jesus, and Jesus is telling us, this is how you pray. This is how you are to pray. Jesus' disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And so Jesus said, pray then like this. So this morning, as we look at this next phrase, let us learn better how to pray. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to, again, just read the entire Lord's Prayer. If you're visiting with us this morning, thank you for being here. We're an expository preaching church, so we are walking. We just walk through entire books of the Bible, or we walk through entire big sections of Scripture. And so our church has been in the Sermon on the Mount. That's where we are. And now we are coming to this section on the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to walk through it week by week on each phrase as we learn how to pray. So let's read this prayer, this beautiful prayer from Jesus as his basically him telling his disciples, his followers, this is how you pray. Look at verse 9. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Christ is teaching us to pray. And if we will look deeply at these phrases, if we will go beyond just the memorized words that we, most of us, know, here's what's going to happen. Our prayer lives are going to be strengthened from this. If you will go deep into these phrases and see these as beautiful words that Jesus prayed, but also see that he was teaching us a pattern to implement into our own prayer lives, our prayer lives are going to be strengthened. Our intimate relationship with the Father is going to grow deeper. And our time, when we actually begin to create and discipline ourselves to make time to pray, our time with the Father will be sweeter. Last week, we looked at the first words of this prayer, our Father in heaven. And we understood, and we were beginning to understand in this phrase, these opening words are foundational not only to our prayer lives, but also to our spiritual walk with the Lord. When we met together Wednesday night with our men's ministry and our time of prayer, it was so neat as we were going around the room and we were walking through the book of Proverbs and talking about things. Several of us mentioned how that phrase had impacted our week. As we begin to understand what it truly means to call God our dearest Father. Christ used the word Abba Father, which means dearest Father. It is an intimate phrase acknowledging that as believers we do know God is our Father. It is an intimate word, but it is also a phrase that carries awe and wonder and reverence as we approach him. It is a phrase that should cause us to stop, to pause, to breathe, and spend time reflecting and meditating on how awesome it is that we can approach God in this way. Our Father, our dearest Father, that should cause us to stop. And the reason that we can approach God in this way is because of the work of Christ on the cross, because of his atoning work on the cross, that we can now be adopted and be called children of God. And now, as we pray, as we spend time in our prayer lives, we can approach God and say, our dearest Father. This should be foundational to our prayer lives. But then Jesus goes on, And he gives us the next phrase. The next phrase that we need to understand in our prayer lives. And we move to this foundational upward petition, which is, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Again, Jesus says, let me teach you how to pray. Our dearest Father, Abba Father, hallowed be your name. This is first. God first, us second. And again, if we think about our lives, if we think about our walks with the Lord, many of us don't pray this way, do we? Many of us don't pray this way. We rush directly into our prayer lives, and then we rush right out. Just kind of like a drive-thru. Just like the way we like to get our food. Quick, fast, get me out of there. Imagine being in the line at your favorite drive-thru. I'm going to just use Chick-fil-A because that seems appropriate for a church, right? Imagine pulling up to the drive-thru, to really one of the most efficient drive-thrus ever. They're super efficient. But imagine you as a customer driving up and rolling your window down, and they say, hey, we're so glad you're here. How can I take your order? And then you stop, and for a while, you just begin telling them, you guys are great. I just want to tell you how efficient you are and how clean your place is. You're always so kind. You always tell me how much you love me as your customer, that it's your pleasure to... Imagine if you went on like this for a while. Would that change the efficiency of their drive-thru? If you stopped each time to pause and just tell them how great they are before you took your order. That wouldn't help the drive-thru. But that's something that we need to learn to do in our prayer lives. Because we treat God like a drive-thru sometimes. This is what I need, 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 I also need that, I need you to take care of this, I need this. All right, see you later. I got things to do. But what Jesus is saying is the very first thing that should be part of our prayer life, the first thing that should be part of our prayer time is to stop, to pause, to worship Him, to hallow His name. This is what God is telling us. God should have the priority in our prayer life. God should be the priority of our prayer life, to worship Him, to say, hallowed be your name, to take time to acknowledge your dearest Father in heaven, to take time to approach Him in an intimate way, yet with awe, with wonder, with reverence, to take time to acknowledge God, the name above all names, hallowed be your name. This should cause us to slow down, right? That's what Jesus is saying. Pause, stop, spend some time worshiping and acknowledging who God is. God is the priority. God first, us second. Now, side note, there are times when we need to just cry out to the Lord. There are times when a loved one is hurt. There is times when we don't even really know what to pray because we're so scared, we're so fearful. There are times in emergencies, there's times to petition for a loved one. There are times to say, Lord, help me. There are times for that, okay? When Peter was walking on the water and he began to sink, he did not pause and like, God, you're so awesome. He said, Lord, save me. He just said, Lord, save me. There are times for that. We can come to the Father anytime, any place, crying out to Him. But as we look at our normal, intimate prayer times with the Lord, we see this beautiful pattern of God first, us second. This is the way it's supposed to be. So let's look at the meaning of this phrase. Let's look at what this phrase, these words that make up this phrase, what do they mean? Hallowed be your name. It consists of two words, hallowed and name. And let's look at the word name first. Okay, so we see this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. For many people in our culture, naming our children, it's not as big of a deal as it was back in Jewish time, in the time of Jesus. Or in that culture. We name our kids sometimes after a family member, or we just go get a book of popular names, and we're like, oh, I like that one. Or sometimes it's just we always like this name that was really cute. There's nothing wrong with that. But to the Jewish family, a person's name was very, very important. It was a reflection of their character, of who they were. The name of God was extremely important, and guess what? It still is. The name of God is extremely important. Psalm 27. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. That verse, Psalm 20, verse 7, is still so very relevant today. And we pray, we approach God as our dearest Father, and we say, hallowed be your name. Why do we say that? Because we trust in it. We trust in his name. The question is this, where is your trust? When you're praying, is that just an empty phrase, hallowed be your name? Or when you say his name, our dearest Father, do you believe in his name? Do you trust in his name? Where is our trust? Is our trust in our jobs? Is our trust in our abilities? Is our trust in our technology? Is our trust in our government? Is our trust in our money? Or do we still trust in the name of the Lord our God? Do we still trust in the name of the Lord our God? We're going to talk in just a little bit on what that is going to look like. Because I think for some of us, we give lip service, but our lives don't show much trust. We pray memorized phrases, but our lives don't show that we really believe what we're praying. For some of us, we don't really pray that much at all. And for some of us, we treat God as a vending machine, rushing in, rushing out. God is saying, Jesus is saying, when you pray, stop. Come to him as our dearest Father with awe and reverence in this incredible, intimate relationship that you have with him because of Christ on the cross, and then spend time hallowing and revering his name. There were many names given to God in the Old Testament. Jehovah, Shalom, God of peace. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. El Shaddai, El Elyon, Adonai. And what is the one that Jesus used when he came? What is the foundational name of the Lord in the Lord's Prayer? It is simply the profound name, Abba Father, dearest Father. An intimate name, yet a name that carries awe and wonder and reverence. And so when we pray, we cry out, dearest Father, Abba Father, we approach him with this understanding of God as our dearest Father, yet we pause and we spend time hallowing his name. This is important. This should be part of our prayer time. This should be part of how we spend with the Lord. What does it mean to hallow God's name? Hallow, the word hallow, means to set apart. To set apart as holy, to consider holy. So when we are thinking about the name of the Lord, when we're thinking about God's name, when we're calling out and crying out and praising him, our dearest Father, we are setting apart, considering his name, considering him to be holy. We give him the praise and the reverence that he deserves. My wife collected some fine china when she was growing up as a young girl. And then we got married pretty young. We got married when we were 20. And so she continued to collect some of those pieces. And I actually know what they're called. It's the Old Country Roses by Royal Albert. Anybody impressed with that? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. We're coming up on 28 years of marriage, and here's what she's never done. She has never kept that china in the same cabinet as the paper plates that we use for every single meal of our existence. They're not there. They're not there. She doesn't even keep it in the plates and bowls. We do have some real plates that we have when we need it. We just don't like to wash it with seven people in our family. So we use a lot of paper plates, but she doesn't keep that fine china, even with just our regular everyday dishes. She has a place for that, and it's in a china cabinet. She sets it apart because it costs just a little more than the paper plates do. She sets it apart to protect it. We are to hallow God's name, to set him apart as holy. He is better than anything else. Remember when we went through the book of Hebrews, the theme is Jesus is better. Better than anything. Better than anything. God is holy, and we are to let him know that we believe that, to praise him for who he is, to hallow his name as the sovereign creator of the universe in this incredible, intimate way, yet we still take the time to worship and hallow his name, to consider the holiness of who he is. The question that we have this morning is, are we doing that? I think that the tough questions for us is going to come into some different categories. First of all, some of us are going to fall into the category of we don't really pray. We might pray at dinner. We might utter some phrases that we've said for our whole life or that our family. And we pray along with people on Sunday morning, but we don't spend any time with the Lord during the week. Some of us kind of fall into that category of we kind of do some spot prayers, and we pray when we need to, and we believe that God is there, and we know that we have a relationship with him, but we just kind of have these, we're kind of a drive-through prayer life, you know, kind of quick. Are we taking the time to stop and spend time worshiping him, hallowing his name? Now we're going to go a little deeper here. The word hallowed in the Greek in this verse, okay? You don't have to write these down, but if you want to, it's fun. That word hallowed here in this verse is an aorist passive imperative, okay? Is that cool for anybody? Like, yeah, whatever. Let's move on. But it's important. It's important when you kind of understand the language and what a word and what tense it's in and all those things, because when you look at the Greek of that word, what that means is this: God's name is to be hallowed and worshipped and set apart as holy for all of eternity and for right now in the present age. We're supposed to praise him and hallow and revere his name right now in this present age, but it also is to be praised and worshipped forever. That's kind of a big deal, I think. It's not just like a once, like, yeah, you should worship him and praise his name one time. No, it's we should be praising him and worshiping and hallowing his name every day and for eternity. When we pray and we hallow his name, we are considering his name holy in the present age. We are considering and declaring his name holy for all of eternity. Abba, Father. Dearest Father, hallowed be your name. May your name as Father be worshipped and considered holy. May it be reverenced now and for all eternity. The question is this: when we do pray this, when we do begin to understand this, when we do begin to implement this prayer pattern in our lives, when we get it, how does it begin to impact our lives? How does it begin to affect our lives? Because if you begin to pray this way, it will affect your life. Does it have any effect and application to our lives? Absolutely. We began to see it on Wednesday night, just even with our men, as we began to talk and as we went around and prayed and talked about what God was doing in our lives. We discussed that. We were saying that out loud. Understanding God as our dearest Father affects our lives, doesn't it? It brings what we talked about last week. It brings security. It brings peace. It brings an understanding that we are loved by him. And when we hallow his name, it also affects the way we live. How does believing, how does understanding and praying this phrase affect our lives? The simple answer to this question is this: God's name is dearest Father. God's name is Abba Father begins to be revered in our lives. It is set apart as holy in our lives when we lead lives that reflect Christ. We begin to live this out. Think about it this way. Repeating the phrase, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," that's just an empty phrase if we're not truly submitting to the Holy Spirit, right? In our lives. We can repeat prayers all we want. If we don't believe it, if we're not truly submitting to the Lord, it's just an empty phrase. But when we are coming to Christ with a poverty of spirit, depending on Christ and striving and desiring to live more and more like Him, not in our own power, but Christ through us, that's the difference. It can be an empty phrase that we repeat, or it can be a real heartfelt phrase because we believe it. We believe it, and when we believe it, we start living that. So the truth would be, we cannot honestly pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." We cannot honestly pray that phrase without submitting to, obeying, and then living out what we believe. We can't honestly pray that unless we're ready to believe it and live it. So, how can we do that? How can we truly live out this phrase, "Hallowed be your name"? We love application. We need it. We look at Scripture and we say, "All right, I believe this. How does this affect my life? How is me praying, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name,' how does that affect my life? How can we truly live out this phrase, 'Hallowed be your name'?" Let me just give you a few things. First is this. How do we live out 'Hallowed be your name'? We need to take the Lord's name seriously. We need to take His name seriously. If we're going to say this phrase, "hallowed," which means to set apart as holy, consider as holy, then in our daily lives, we need to take His name seriously. We've got to stop using His name flippantly. We are not to take His name in vain. And we have come to some phrases in our culture that just, I think some people don't even know it's taking His name in vain when we're just throwing out, "Oh my," and we put His name in there and using little abbreviations. We don't really think about that. But we need to stop taking His name flippantly. We need to speak His name with reverence. The second thing, how do we live out, if we truly believe what we're praying and we are praying, "Hallowed be your name," how do we live this out? We need to spend time revering Him in our public and our private worship, which is what we've been talking about. We need to take time to pause and to worship God. God first, us second. Whether that is through prayer, whether that is through music, through Bible study, we are to allow time to worship Him. And this, I think, should be convicting to every single one of us in this room. Right? Anyone have a to-do list for today on Sunday, right after church? Yeah. Yeah. Because we've got to start the week tomorrow. Somehow. We call them spiritual disciplines. We don't like words like that. But a spiritual discipline would be to say, "I'm going to make time to pray. I'm going to make time not only just to pray, not just to offer up my requests, but I'm going to make time to pause and worship Him and hallow His name." But not only in our private worship, we are also to take time, we are also to revere and to set apart His holy and hallow His name in our corporate time as well. It is not about the style of music coming off of a stage. It is definitely not about my sermons. This time together is all about whether or not we are glorifying the name of the Lord. That's what it's about, that His name is lifted up. Are we hallowing God's name when we gather to worship? Because we can do the same thing when we come into this place. If our mind is just completely on ourselves or on all the things that are going on in our life, we can come in and we can offer up songs and those be empty phrases, right? Just because we know the song. I've used this illustration so many times, but I remember being at a camp, and it was a wonderful time of worship, and students and college students were lifting their hands and praising the Lord, and I just remember seeing the guy in front of me on the row above me, and he had his hand up, and he was just praising the Lord, and then I realized that down here he was texting somebody. He looked like he had the hand up, right? I mean, it was there. But his mind wasn't really there. It was whatever he was having conversation. We all do that. I mean, we can be like, yeah, we can point fingers, but we all do that. How much sweeter of a time is to come in here focused, ready to worship, hallowing his name? Are we hallowing God's name when we gather to worship? How do we live out hallowing his name? If we truly believe that phrase, if we're praying that phrase, that it's not an empty phrase, then it should affect our lives as well. We should take his name seriously in our daily lives, to stop taking his name in vain, to stop being flippant about his name. We are to spend time weekly, daily, in reverence to him in our public life, our public worship, and our private worship. And then third, we are to truly believe what we are praying. When our beliefs truly line up with what we are praying, if he is our dearest Father, if he is holy, the question is, do we truly believe this? Because if we do, it will be seen in our lives. The more we understand who he is as our dearest Father, the deeper our reverence for him will be. Again, this is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives too. It's not in our own power. This is what God is doing in us because Christ is in us. It's that sanctification process. As we yield and partner with the Holy Spirit, we begin to grow in Christ. And we begin to live a life that displays what we believe. If it's an empty phrase, you won't see it in your life. If it's what you believe, you will begin to see that being lived out in your life. Do others see our belief that God is truly our dearest Father? That's the testimony that we have to give to the world. If we're going to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name," if we pray that out loud and we mean it, then people will begin to see that we do have a relationship with God. If it's just an empty phrase, then we're obviously, it's not going to be seen. Do they see a life that reveres the name of God? You've heard this statement in different ways, but there's just no other way to say it. But it's this: how you live demonstrates what you believe about God. It's just that simple. How you live daily really demonstrates what you truly believe about God. Fear, anxiety, depression, worry, your consistency in coming to worship, your priorities, your time with the Lord, how you treat your spouse, how you treat your family, your views on money, your calling, the list could go on and on and on. But how we live demonstrates what we believe about that phrase, "Hallowed be your name." Our lives reflect what we believe and what we are praying. And that's why Jesus, if you go back up just a few verses, he's like, don't be like the hypocrites. Just saying empty phrases that sound good and have big theological words in it. Don't just utter that. If you're going to pray, pray and believe it. Let me teach you how to pray. Start by stopping and pausing and crying out, "Our dearest Father, Abba, Father, thank you because of Jesus. Thank you that we can have an intimate relationship with the Lord, with the Creator of the universe, that we can approach him, that he's adopted us into his family. We can be called children of God. Thank you. Believe it. pray it, know it, and then hallow his name, thank him for that, worship him, cry out to him, set aside him as holy, and then live that in your life as you believe it. None of this is meant to discourage us. We must again be reminded that God loves us. He loves us. He provided a way for us to be saved through his Son, Jesus Christ, and Christ's work on the cross. And this beginning phrase is just so awesome. When we know it, that God is our Father. I mentioned it last week. We have interesting relationships with our earthly fathers, don't we? Some good, some great, some non-existent, some completely awful. But God is holy. God is perfect. And God's love is perfect. And because of Jesus, you can know the love of the Father, the true Father. And we get to approach him. And this is humbling, isn't it? It's humbling. Because it's really just such a miracle of what Christ did for us. Such a miracle. I don't want to ever get over that. I want to ever just kind of get over that. It's a miracle to be called a child of God, to be saved by his grace. And because of that, that should affect our prayer life, right? That we should come and always be in awe of that, to always humbly approach him saying, thank you for the miracle of salvation. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that I can call you my dearest Father. So we should pause, stop, breathe, and take time to hallow his name, to worship the Father, to thank him. This needs to be the first foundational part of our prayer life. And we need to believe it so that it affects the way we live and then others will see Christ in us. I don't want this to be an empty phrase in my life. And I hope you pray, and I hope and pray you don't either. I hope that we will find a renewed awe and reverence in this prayer. And for some of us, maybe just it's the first time that you're seeing this, that we will have a deeper understanding of the words of this prayer. And may this deeper understanding not only affect our prayer lives, but also affect the way we live. Let's pray. God, we do come. We come as you are our Father. You are our dearest Father. Hallowed be your name. You are holy, you are just, you are perfect, you are our peace and our strength. You are sovereign, which means you are in control of everything. Which means when we see the stuff going on in the world, we turn our eyes to you, knowing that you are in control. And that you love us, that we are your children. And I pray if there's anyone here that is being called, they are feeling this call, they know that they need a Savior, that they desire to be loved by you, that the Holy Spirit is calling to them, I pray that they would not wait another second, that they would trust in you, that faith that is welling up in them that you have given them, that they will respond in that faith that you would save them. I pray that our lives, as we approach you, that we would discipline ourselves in the hectic craziness of our schedules to stop and worship you, to pray to you, to hallow your name. I pray that we in our lives, that we would believe that, we'd understand it, it would change and affect the way we live, which is our testimony of the gospel to this lost world, that people would see us taking your name seriously because we believe in it. We believe in the name of the Lord our God. They would see us revering it and honoring you in our lives. It would affect our corporate time of prayer, our corporate time of worship, our corporate time, our private time of worship, and that they would see that we truly believe it. God, we continue to worship you now. We love you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.